Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. This is a free flow combo.
Holy shit, it's been a long time between free flow combos on the beach, I tell ya. This microphone has been broken for a while. Well, not broken, the little foam bit fell off and I lost it and then found it and glued it back together and now it's working. So I'm back down here on the beach, and today I wanted to share. I've just been doing a lot of stuff around fear lately because it really truly is the thing that gets in all of our way, you know? And I've been kind of unpacking the different types of fear and ways to move through them. And I've been doing a few live Facebook Lives on my Facebook page and in my Show Up Speak Up group. And I just thought I'd, record something based on something I've just written for ProBlogger. Now, I'm speaking at ProBlogger in a few weeks, actually, on making the most of your mic. So if you're coming along, namely, one, I would love to see you in my workshop. There are limited seats, so you'll need to book a place. And two, if you don't want to come to my workshop, that's totally cool. But please, if you see me around the traps, please, please, please come and say hello. Don't feel shy or embarrassed if we haven't met in the flesh. Just come up and say, g'day, I am totally not scary and 100% this is me. So, you know, if you're vibing, then come and say g'day. So I just finished writing a guest post for ProBlogger because, yeah, fear is definitely a topic of interest for me, as you would know, as listeners of my podcast. And I have been exploring, like I said before, the different ways in which it shows up. And one major thing that I see with all of the entrepreneurs that I work with in Radcasters through my coaching and mentoring and through the course is this fear of being heard, or more fear of being seen. I call it fear of being heard because podcasting is about, you know, speaking up. But it really is when you go to show up and you go to extend yourself in any way that's going to allow you to be seen or heard, you know, it leads to us being vulnerable and open to all kinds of criticism and rejection, and none of that stuff feels good. So it's our natural instinct as human beings to kind of move away from things that present danger. And so, yeah, I've just been unpacking the fear of being seen and heard and ways to overcome it. So I wrote this post for ProBlogger. It should be up on their site soon. And it pretty much goes over, eight tips for overcoming the fear of being seen and heard. So I thought I would share them with you. Now I've got to be able to read it and walk, which is difficult, but I should just be able to have a quick look and remember, because I did write it, although that doesn't mean much because sometimes this stuff just comes to you and then it's gone and you don't even really recall what it was about. But I remember tip one, which is identify the fear. So this is really about figuring out what it is that you're actually afraid of. Give it a name, shine a light on it, you know, say it out loud. I am afraid of people not liking me. I am afraid of someone calling me out. I'm afraid that I'm going to be exposed as a fraud. You know, whatever the fear is, name it. Say, I am afraid of, insert your personal reason here. And then tip two, and this is one that I use quite a lot, not just in fear, but in lots of different aspects of my life. And that is, does the best possible outcome outweigh the worst possible outcome? So this is my tool for whether I move forward on something. So what is the worst possible outcome? Well, in a lot of cases, in terms of being seen and heard, the worst possible outcome is something that is totally 100% to do with us. So, you know, fear of rejection, fear of being exposed, you know, that imposter syndrome stuff, fear of getting it wrong, that's a big one, which I unpacked on a live yesterday. You know, that's a big one for me. My one of my biggest fears is getting it wrong and being wrong on a stage. And actually, I want to share something with you, because when I first did my first public speaking around podcasting specifically, and my first public speaking really for a very long time, I was so nervous, because I thought, I was talking to a room of about 40 health practitioners, and for some reason I thought there was going to be someone in that audience who knew more than I did and would call me out on getting something wrong, and then I would look like a total fraudster in front of everyone, which is really imposter syndrome, I guess, but you know, fear of getting it wrong, fear of looking like an idiot. And so that was the worst case scenario, really. Or I got up there and I just totally fucked it up and made a complete fool of myself. Hey, and that, you know, that they were the worst possible outcomes, you know, or I'm standing there and nobody is engaged and they're all, again, it's just like all about me, which is actually the next tip. But before I move on to the next tip, the best possible outcome. So what is the best possible outcome? It would have been that, you know, I enjoyed myself. The best possible outcome would be that I converted some clients from the speech, and that I made people feel really inspired about podcasting, and I gave them some really useful information that is practical and they can use. And actually, that's what happened. The best possible outcome happened. I ended up making, from speaking in front of that group, I ended up making about $14,000 in sales from a 1-hour talk. And and working with some of my favorite people from that. And I totally rocked it. You know, there were still nerves. Like, I was still very nervous and there were still moments of awkwardness in my talk, but the best possible outcome happened. And I was so focused on the worst possible outcome. And actually what switched it was I set an intention, which I think I probably will get to. I hope I do. Otherwise that will be tip number 9. You know, set an intention. And the intention really is the best possible outcome. So while I was driving from my house, nervous as all fuck, to this event, I just kept on thinking to myself, okay, what is the intention? What is the purpose of me doing this? And just on repeat, that I want to convert people to clients. I want to, you know, give them really great quality value. I want to seem confident and calm. And I just focused on that, focused on the best possible outcome. So tip number 3 is, it's not about you. It's really not about you. And this is where we kind of get stuck, right? It's the old chestnut. I think as humans, it's kind of natural for us to make things about ourselves. It's kind of what we do. And what people think of us. And, you know, as you know, this just worrying about what other people think of us is enough to paralyze us and stop us from moving forward. So what I tend to do when I feel myself, you know, getting stuck in this, it's all about me thing. It's, you know, I can hear it on repeat. It's like, what are people going to think of me? What if I fuck up? Like, this is all about me, but what about the people? What about the people that you're showing up to teach or inspire or, you know, work with? What about them? Like, what about them? Make it about them. Do it from a place of service, not from a place of it being about you. And that's my mantra, my go-to mantra. When nervous, focus on service. Make it external. You know, there are plenty of times, like, and in my, this is going to be like probably contentious thing to say, but when I was in my depression was really all about me. I was so stuck inside myself and like lost inside myself. Everything was about me. You know, what people would think about me, pretty much like everything was a judgment. Everything was about me. And it wasn't until I started living outside of myself again and connecting back to that it isn't all about me, that things started to improve. You know, so it really is. And for me, that came down to volunteer work. So I truly was being of service, and it gave purpose and meaning to my life, which I didn't have when I was suffering from depression. You know, I was just in this bubble of nothing. And you know, moving from that bubble of nothing into doing some volunteer work. I volunteered for WIRES, which is a wildlife rescue nonprofit. And I also started volunteering for a local business women's network, and it just gave me purpose. And when I had purpose, then I had meaning, and you know, and it helped me really shift through that it's all about me stage. So then tip number four is practice makes perfect, or rather, because practice, I don't believe in perfect, but it definitely makes it better. So I was talking to one of my clients this morning because, you know, a lot of us won't start because we need it to be right. We need to get it right. We have a very deep need for things to go well and for us to look good in front of other people. And so that really stops most of us from moving forward. But here's the God honest truth. When you start something, you are going to suck at it. You might be okay at it, but I can guarantee you, you'll look back and go, man, that was really bad. Or, holy shit, I've come a long way from there. You know, judgment aside, it's more like, yeah, okay, that's where I started, and now look how good I am, you know? And so I want to share a couple of examples of that with you. So one is, oh my God, my voiceover reel. When I started doing voiceovers, or when the first course that I took in you know, radio, really... part of the course was to record a reel for us to submit to people to try and get work. And if I listen to that now, holy shit, it's so, so, so bad. But I didn't let it stop me, because practice makes perfect. And now, even now, like, even though I'm not consciously trying to improve my voiceover work, because it just kind of, I kind of rest on my laurels a bit, but it absolutely gets better and better with time, because I'm constantly doing it and I'm constantly listening. I'm looking for feedback and I'm improving. But you can't start at the top, generally. You have to start somewhere. So why not just start where you are? Because you can wait for the perfect conditions, but the conditions are never going to be perfect. You know, I know in terms of having a kid, my friends used to say to me, you know, when are you going to have kids? And I'd be like, oh, I don't really know, probably never. You know, the time's just not right. And they'd just say, like, time is never right. Just do it. And it's kind of like that. Like, if it's something that you want to do, just start trying. So, you know, and just know that, yeah, it's okay to suck. Like, it's okay not to be perfect at what you're doing. You can grow into it, which is why I'm such a big fan. Actually, that brings me to point number five, which is drop perfection for experimentation. And, you know, if you listen to this, you've probably listened to my podcasts with Nikki Smith. And if not, then this, add that to your reading list right now. Experimentation just absolutely rocks the Casbah. So perfection serves no one. Honestly, it serves no one. It doesn't make the people around you feel good about themselves. Perfection makes people feel shit about themselves. You know, like they're wondering what's wrong with them. That's why I kind of created this podcast, to prove that, you know, we're all dealing with the same shit. Most of us just don't want to talk about it because we're afraid that people are going to think we're a dickhead. You know, we're like, I'm okay with being a dickhead for a greater cause. I never used to be, but I am now. So, you know, drop that expectation of perfection and replace it with experimentation. Experimentation, or, you know, running mini experiments, as Nikki calls them, just really drops the attachment to outcome. Because instead of it being this huge thing, it's like this fun light experiment. And you're just testing things out to see what works. You don't have to have it all right from the beginning. So drop perfection for experimentation. Tip six is just so profound. I wish I could remember where I heard it. But anyway, it's essentially this. What you're afraid of has actually already occurred. It has already happened. And that is why you have the fear around it. So you have been rejected before. We've all been rejected. You have been called out before. You have been, you know, exposed. You've got a wrong answer at school and you've been ridiculed for that. Like, this stuff has already happened to us numerous times. And so that is why the fear is there, because it's happened and we're afraid of it happening again. But when you remind yourself, hey, just because I experienced rejection or because I was hurt on that occasion doesn't mean that that is the only way this can go down. You know, it absolutely can have many more ways of going down than you being ridiculed or feeling hurt, you know, but you're not going to know unless you give it a go. And the other thing to keep in mind, and the reason I think that I'm so not worried about fucking up and failing and all that kind of shit that most people deal with, is because I had that big epic failure, because I sucked hardcore, you know, and I didn't suck hardcore, but like the situation I was in sucked hardcore. It was rejection on a huge public level. And so when you've been through something like that, the little day-to-day rejection, it doesn't, I mean, it still hurts. Don't get me wrong, it still hurts. But I know if I can get through what I've been through, you know, a little bit of rejection from someone isn't going to kill me. Because if the Office Collective didn't kill me, that sure as hell isn't going to kill me. So it kind of has, you know, given me a bit of freedom to not be bound by that fear so much. But it still exists. It absolutely still exists. And in fact, just recently I went through a launch that was, or two or three launches in a row. They were all kind of happening at the same time. And none of them went even remotely close to plan. One of them had zero signups. One had one. Like, it was, I went straight back into that place, you know, that fear, the rejection feeling, and the I'm not good enough stuff came up. And, you know, but I moved through it a lot quicker this time, probably because there wasn't $100,000 attached to it. But it was still, you know, it's the hurt. And we do want to protect ourselves from it, but honestly, we can't. And if we want to impact people and we want to leave this planet a better place than what we've found it, then you're going to have to get over that shit, and you're just going to have to do it anyway. So tip seven, and it kind of ties into that, right? That idea that essentially, let me just put it out there. Tip seven is, what others think of you is none of your business, you know? What other people think of you is, and this is something that I remind myself of daily, and other people's behaviours and their actions, it comes from their own experience, their own beliefs, their own baggage, and none of it is yours, and you don't have to carry that with you. Just saying, just giving you permission to drop some of that baggage you're carrying around for other people. You know, what they think of you has very little to do with you and everything to do with them. It takes us back to that tip. It's not about you, but it is about them. And by you not acting on that, you're really doing everyone a disservice. And in fact, you're probably making some pretty huge assumptions that have absolutely no grounding in reality whatsoever. I mean, I just know from my own experiences, you know, the times I've thought someone's been judging me, and then when I've spoken to them about it, they've actually been thinking, oh my God, that is so cool. And, you know, and it's been completely different to what I had assumed. I was just triggering something in them, you know, that they were awkward around. Like, a lot of people aren't really good with telling you that they think that you're doing an amazing job because they didn't get praise from their parents. And, you know, so there's all these backstory reasons why people behave the way they do, and none of it has anything to do with you. So if you're allowing that to stop you from moving forward, you're really ripping all the other people off that could absolutely or absolutely do need to hear what you have to say. So, you know, you just, again, it just comes down to getting over yourself. And the tip 8 is, you can't please everyone, so you might as well please yourself. And ain't that the fucking truth? Because it doesn't matter. You can try to please everyone, but when you are trying to please everyone, you're really not doing anyone any favors, because you're not standing for something. You're just really trying to keep peace. And keeping peace in that, you know, in that kind of way, by pandering to everyone else's needs and wants and desires and what they may think, and trying to protect everyone from their own feelings, all it does is drain you energetically. When, you know, you worry about you, you know, it's all about you. No, but you know, like you just worry about looking after your own feelings, looking after, you know, taking responsibility, 100% responsibility for where you are in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all your doing. And when it's not your doing, you can still change your perception around it. So you still have ownership of the way that you perceive things. So taking 100% ownership means that you're lightening the load of the people around you, you know, and because they're not having to carry your shit around, and you shouldn't have to carry their shit around. So just everybody just drop their fucking bags and pick up their own shit and then go and forget about, you know, lightening other people's loads by carrying their stuff around. They're here to learn their own lessons, and by you pandering to them and by carrying all their shit around, you're stopping them from actually, you know, moving through their shit so they can move forward to the next lifetime in a better position. Just keeping them hostage to themselves. So, yeah, that is all I've really got to say today. I hope that there's been one tip in here. And I would love, honestly, I would love for you, if you've listened to this podcast, there are two things that I want you to do. Number one, I would love you to email me, or, you know, message me on Facebook, or, yeah, well, just get in touch with me. However you want to do that is totally fine. Unless you're like sitting in a car outside the front of my house stalking me, that's probably not okay. But if you can reach out to me in any other way, like electronically, that would be totally awesome. And I would love to hear. Okay, so part two of this is, I don't just want you to email me and say, I listened to your podcast. What I want to know is, what fear are you going to move through? What, like, think right now. What is one thing that I'm afraid of that I could do? And just take one step towards it, and then email me or message me and tell me what that one step you took was. It doesn't have to be big, you know, small steps. Make a something, you know, eventually take you to a marathon. But you're never going to reach the end game if you don't start at the start game. So take one step and then message me and let me know what the step you've taken is. And let me know which tip has resonated with you the most. Okay, so the other thing that I would love you to do is please, if you haven't already, but you're an avid listener of Carlosophies, or even if this is your first step and you've just thought, yeah, this is pretty cool, I would so appreciate if you would jump onto iTunes and leave me a 5-star review and a few kind words, or a few words, say g'day, via iTunes. It really helps me to, you know, continue to spread my word, and a little validation goes a long way sometimes. So, number one, reach out to me, tell me how you're moving through fear, which tip resonated with you the most, and then leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. That's a lot to ask. But hey, don't ask, don't get. And we can't stay in the fear of not asking for what we want. We just have to fucking ask. All right, that's it from me today. It feels so good to be back. Until next time, peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this Carlosophies Free Flow Combo with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of this podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.